I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not flash guarding anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
The Lightning Bolt, Usain Bolt, continues to rewrite the Olympic record books and solidify and electrify his status as the greatest sprinter in history. Sporty Olympic greetings once again to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to another special Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Olympic superstar Usain Bolt will race for his third gold medal of the Rio Games later Friday night in Brazil. The Lightning Bolt is expected to run the anchor leg for Jamaica in the men's 4x100 meters team relay. Bolt is trying to duplicate what he did at the 2008 Olympics in Beijing and the 2012 Olympics in London, win gold in the 100 meters, the 200 meters, and 4x100 meter relay. The Jamaican star easily won the 200 meters final Thursday night in Rio, clocking 19.78 seconds. It was his eighth career Olympic gold medal. Andre DeGrasse of Canada, who won bronze behind Bolt in the 100-meter dash in Rio, finished second in the 200 meters in 20.02 seconds, and Frenchman Christophe Lemaitre won the silver medal in 20.12 seconds. But the Olympic spotlight was once again on Usain Bolt, and the Lightning Bolt was ready for the cameras. Before the race, Usain Bolt played air guitar and swayed to the music playing through the stadium loudspeakers while smiling and nodding straight into the TV camera. And after the race, Bolt danced around the track and told reporters, I quote, "I don't need to prove anything else. What else can I do to prove to the world I am the greatest?" At the Olympic Boulevard in Rio de Janeiro, Brazilians and tourists gathered to watch the 200-meter final on a big screen. Let's sample some of their reaction to the Lightning Bolt's latest Olympic heroics.
I say, Usain Bolt, I love you. And you know you put Jamaica on the map. What Bob Marley didn't do, you did. And everyone, where you go, I was in the stadium. All the people in Rio was rooting for boats.
And Jamaica is so far from here, but we always support. I think everybody in every country supports him.
Fantastic. He's such a showman. It's great fun watching him. There's some good videos of him training, and he says that the competition is the show. And I think everybody's watching him, right? Everyone has their eyes on Bolt. And yeah, fantastic. Brilliant performance.
Brilliant performance indeed. Olympic fans in Rio talking about the brilliant Usain Bolt, the world's fastest man. The United States has dominated the medals table at Rio 2016, and Americans won four gold medals in athletics on Thursday. Caron Clement won the men's 400-meter hurdles. Dalila Muhammad won gold in the women's 400-meter hurdles. Ryan Krauser won gold in the men's shot put. And Ashton Eaton completed another great performance day for the USA by successfully defending his Olympic title in the 10-event decathlon. Joining us once again from Rio with more Olympic news is our friend Luis Piazzet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Tears in Brazil, individual records, team effort against odds, aging, false promises. Despite that, the Olympic Games became a muscular enterprise to enrich few, whether someone or whoever win or not, prevails the strength of the humankind from inside out at its best. This morning in Brazil, the one pictured in most newspapers was the beach volleyball team Alisson and Bruno Schmidt crying with their gold medal next to their heart, after beating the strong Italian team Nicolai and Lupo in a match under a hailstorm in Copacabana. While the sport was created in U.S., Brazil is often considered the spiritual home of beach volleyball. The host nation is most decorated in terms of Olympic medals and has won at least one medal at every game since the sport was added in 1996. Then, unbelievably, the second headline was Usain Bolt, the first athlete to win three titles in the 100 meters and 200 meters, and this is only the tip of his mountain of goals in his athlete's life. He declared, with his usual and sympathetic sense of humor, that he wants to share the same status as Pelé and Muhammad Ali. Brazilians went to bed yesterday also celebrating the sailing gold won by Martina Groel and Kahena Kunze in the 49ers class. While the sailing competitions of five different classes appeared to leave Brazil without medals, the Brazilian women team had one last chance, and they did it. On the same night, the world saw the most complete athlete of the Olympic Games 2016 in the decathlon 10th Olympic disciplines. From Portland, Oregon, Ashton Eaton has accomplished another remarkable job, two times Olympic champion and the owner of the world record. Brazil has set a goal of medals for this domestic chapter of the Games to be among the top 10 medalist countries. It is possible if the women's soccer team wins bronze today against Canada in São Paulo, and if the boys, for the first time in history, win gold tomorrow in the Maracanã against a soccer nightmare, Germany. The Olympics in Rio did not finish yet, but the USA has reached 100 gold medals, close to double over the second place on the board, Great Britain and or China. If there was a representative nation in this Olympics that has put more effort to enhance the image of cooperation, goodwill, and positive expectation toward the event, it was the United States, with not only the biggest delegation and the highest number of athletes, but officially, even the United States Ambassador, Mrs. Liliana Yaldi, appeared in a video welcoming Americans and all foreigners to Rio with a sharp Portuguese inviting for all the good that the city could offer. Then, also this morning, we read a public announcement from the USA Swimming Executive Director, Chuck Welgus, about the four American swimmers in a shameful international showcase, saying they are not representative of what is expected as Olympians, as Americans, as swimmers, and as individuals. Then, from Mr. Scott Blackmon, president of the U.S. Olympic Committee, and I quote, "We apologize to our host in Rio and the people of Brazil for this distracting ordeal in the middle of what should rightly be a celebration of excellence." I am Luis Piazet for the Sony Side of Sports in Rio de Janeiro.
Obrigado, Luis. And I love the Eric Clapton music. For those keeping score, that song is titled Tears in Heaven. And Clapton wrote it about the pain and loss he felt following the death of his four-year-old son, Connor. Tears in Heaven won the Grammy Award in 1993 for Record of the Year and Song of the Year. Nearly a quarter century later, the song resonates with Olympic spirit thanks to Luis Piazet. Obrigado, Luis! Many Olympic visitors to Rio de Janeiro, including athletes, officials, and their families, are in the stunningly beautiful coastal city for the first time in their lives. If there is spare time for sightseeing, a trip to see the iconic Christ the Redeemer statue that overlooks Rio is high on the list of many. VOA's Park Brewer in Rio tells us more about the statue.
The Art Deco statue, made of reinforced concrete and soapstone, has overlooked Rio now for 85 years. Jacqueline de Mello, daughter of the owners of the management company which oversees the site, told VOA the crowds are especially large on Saturdays and Sundays.
I know for every day it's media of 3,000, 4,000 each day. In high season and low season, it's 2,000 and a half.
Christ the Redeemer is located about 20 minutes from Rio's famous Copacabana Beach. A popular way to reach the top is by tram, which costs about $21. Once there, De Melo says, the experience is priceless.
Because we can see the whole city 360 degrees, and now since 07, it was the seventh wonder world. So everybody wants to come here to see.
The tram going to the top is far older than the monument. The first one went into service in 1884. It negotiates 700 vertical meters to the peak of Corcovado Mountain, where the gigantic statue is perched. The tram ride is an adventure itself. Upon arrival, you have to climb several flights of steps. Then finally, the imposing architectural work appears. He said it's very beautiful. It's one of the wonders of the world. It is very nice. Laura Machuca is from the United States.
It's so pretty, and there's like lots of things to visit, and like the view's really pretty, so.
Christ the Redeemer is 30 meters high, not including its 8-meter pedestal. Its arms stretch 28 meters across. At the top, you can see virtually all of Rio de Janeiro, the famed Maracanã Stadium, Ipanema Beach, and downtown. But it's the majesty of the statue, designed by Polish-French sculptor Paul Landowski, that enthralls visitors, like Juan Diego Calcaterra of Argentina. He said, it's a beauty. It's impressive. We were very anxious to see it, and we are grateful to be here. And, of course, no one leaves the iconic site without taking photos and videos, proof that they were there. Park Brewer, VOA News, at the Rio Olympics.
While Olympic action is taking place on the court, track, and pitch in Rio, another competition is underway in the laboratory. It's a race between those looking to give athletes an illegal edge and those trying to stop them. Doping scandals marred the lead-up to the Rio Olympics and other games of the recent past. Now scientists warn that cheating could rise to a new level using genetic research. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
There are lots of ways to boost athletic performance that are considered illegal by the International Olympic Committee. For example, there's a hormone that can boost red blood cell production, making more oxygen available. That increases endurance. Then there are anabolic steroids and human growth hormone. There are a couple of types of blood doping. One is a transfusion of the athlete's own blood that had been removed earlier and stored. The second method uses blood from another person, but with the same blood type. Both raise the number of red blood cells that carry oxygen. Professor Carl Johan Sundberg says scientists have gotten pretty good at detecting doping substances, as long as there's not too much time between doping and testing.
They fade out over, depending on the type of drug, days, weeks, or months. But with the new techniques and the new discoveries of long-term metabolites, metabolic steroids, weeks have become months. So the chance of detection has gone up a lot, which is why retesting recently of samples from London and Beijing Olympic Games has shown that there's a higher prevalence of doping usage than was assumed with the previous testing methodologies.
Yes, science has shown more athletes cheated than originally thought at the last two Olympics. Their past caught up with them in the lab. Sundberg is a professor of molecular exercise physiology in Stockholm and a member of the World Anti-Doping Agency's Gene Doping Panel. As for the Russian Olympic team, whose ranks were decimated by a doping scandal, Sundberg thinks that was more of a case of manipulating test results or substituting clean blood or urine for the athlete's own bodily fluids.
That's why they are so much in the spotlight.
Now, new research may lead to gene doping.
Well, gene doping is defined as basically the administration of nucleic acids of some sort, namely DNA or other types of similar molecules that are put into the body normally in healthcare for the purpose of gene therapy to treat specific disorders, but in this case to boost certain genes that may improve performance. We don't know yet whether this has been done anywhere, but presumably, nevertheless, it will be used sometime.
So WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, has been funding research to improve detection methods. Recently, the first test was unveiled that looks for irritation to a particular gene caused by EPO. That's a hormone that can trigger red blood cell growth in the bone marrow.
To test for exogenous, i.e. artificial EPO genetic material in the body. So that's the test that is out there. Over time, more tests will come from this research.
For medical use, a gene is constructed in the lab and placed in the body. Sundberg says it then acts as a template or blueprint to manufacture desired proteins.
If you, for example, introduce more EPO genes into muscle of an individual, then they would enhance their blood count. It's a way which is intended for clinical purposes to enhance blood formation in cancer patients or patients with renal diseases that have a very low blood count and are anemic. So that's the clinical background for these therapies to be developed at all.
Sundberg expects the medical procedure to be used for gene doping in sports. Another possibility is injecting artificial genes into muscles. Researchers are already trying to do that to help people with muscle-wasting diseases.
So if an athlete would illicitly copy that and use that, you could inject such gene material into the muscle and possibly enhance muscle mass.
Sundberg warns there are health risks to athletes who use gene doping. There can be adverse effects on the immune system from the virus that carries the artificial genes through the body. Those genes could also cause cancer due to an enhanced growth of cells. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm VOA's Joe DiCapua.
Joining us once again to talk about social media trends at the Rio Olympics is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Sporty Olympic greetings, Doug.
Olympic greetings and obrigado, Sonny. Great to see you. And that's one of two Portuguese words that I know.
Well, you have me beat by one because I know obrigado. That's about it. What's trending in Rio, Doug?
There's a lot trending, and I just wanted to take a quick moment. I know we've heard a report earlier this hour, but there's actually some new information regarding this whole Ryan Lochte gate, as some are calling it. So the two Olympics, U.S. Olympic swimmers, Gunnar Bentz and Jack Conger, who were taken off the plane, they're back in the U.S. now. Their lawyers persuaded the authorities that they never lied to anybody, mostly because they never said anything to anybody, even if they may have known that the stories being told weren't exactly true. Now, not so lucky Jimmy Feigen. He was the third swimmer. He's also now back in the U.S., but not until he paid a fine, a hefty fine, $10,800. Now, this is really perhaps not a fine. It's a donation to sporting charities in Rio. But still, it was clearly, a requirement for his departure.
Right.
Now, so basically what seems like it's happened. Oh, also, let me just say quickly, in the last few hours or so, Ryan Lochte has stepped back in. He's issued an apology. First went up on Instagram. You can also see it on his Twitter account. He says he begins, "I want to apologize for my behavior last weekend, for not being more careful and candid in how I described events." He goes on to say this: "It's traumatic to be out late with your friends in a foreign country with a language barrier and have a stranger point a gun at you and demand money to let you leave. Regardless of the behavior of anyone else, I should have been much more responsible in how I handled myself." So he's apologizing, but he's clearly, keeping it in that context that it was all very confusing. And look, there's gray areas here. Was this perhaps, from his perspective, did Ryan Lochte feel that he was in some way coming under some threat by some ununiformed person with a gun who was acting in a threatening manner? I think that's very possible. So I don't think he's ever going to come out and say, "Oh, I just made the whole thing up." But I think it's at where it's at now.
I noticed with that apology, though, Doug, no mention of the gas station incident.
That's right. No mention of that at all. So I think everyone's just going to try and let it be for the moment. But if social media is any judge, people, especially Brazilians, are not ready to let it be. There's several hashtags, and there's a lot of, you run some translations, a lot of very angry tweets directed at Ryan Lochte from Brazilians or people who are from Brazil living somewhere else now. Judging by the tone of it, they really genuinely sound hurt. They sound hurt and genuinely offended that this whole kind of cockamamie story was created. Now, one of the, I'm not going to share the mean tweets because they are really rather mean. One of the sort of less mean ones, but again, it's overwhelming against him today. Somebody had tweeted out, said, I say we return Lochte to Brazil, let them imprison him, but turn it into a reality show titled Lochte Up. Everybody
okay.
wins.
Okay.
Not so sure I would watch that.
Apart from Ryan Lochte, Doug, what else is trending in Rio?
Well, several things. First off, again, in the ways that social media can both overreact and then also call attention to, I think, important issues and questions. First of all, there has been a controversy. Now, this may be a tempest in a teacup, but regarding a tweet that Ellen DeGeneres sent out, Ellen DeGeneres, a very popular TV talk show host and comedian here, it was basically her riding on the back of Usain Bolt in that famous picture that he took while mid-stride.
Yes.
He turned to the camera and was big smiling. And, you know, it was meant to be a joke, like, this is how I'm, you know, getting around to do my errands these days, ha-ha. A lot of people thought that was racist. Jon Snow, for example, wrote to Ellen DeGeneres, this is all on Twitter, so the first thing that pops in your head when looking at this pic is, oh, let me jump onto his back like he's a common mule. I mean, again, people are taking offense, but there's a lot of people also stepping in and saying, now, wait a minute, you know, here's a tweet. Let's see. Y'all know darn well Ellen isn't racist, but you're going to act like it is because it's social media and you're all annoying. So that's maybe an example of how social media can get ahead of itself. But something that you and I had been talking about a little bit, and that has been covered in terms of, you know, women's participation. You had a very interesting figure, actually, as we were talking about this.
The IOC president, Thomas Bach, earlier during the games mentioned that in terms of the participation of male and female athletes in Rio, it's roughly 46% female and 54% male. And Bach says he hopes that in future games there will be equal parity. That is,
yeah,
50% male and 50% female.
Sure, exactly. No, that's a fascinating figure. Now, there have been a number of people, again, on social media, and calling attention to what they perceive as sexism in the coverage, in the sports coverage of the events. And not really, just there. Very many of them are using the hashtag cover the athlete. And in other words, talk about the athlete. Talk about what he or she did. Don't kind of couch it in these. There's plenty of examples. The one NBC sports anchor who was talking to a female gymnast before her competition, and he said to her, well, give us a twirl, you know, in your outfit, in your, you know, what you're going to be competing in. You would never hear a sports commentator say that to an American, or excuse me, a male athlete of any kind. A few other very quick examples. One BBC anchor referred to the women's judo event as a, quote, cat fight. The NBC commentator who credited the Hungarian swimmer, I think her name was Hozu, and he basically said, well, her husband is the one responsible for this. Lot of people, you know, talking about Simone Biles as the Michael Jordan of gymnastics or the Michael Phelps of gymnastics. And, you know, her response has been, no, I'm the Simone Biles of gymnastics.
That's right.
You know? So
unique in her own right.
So a lot of people using that hashtag to, I think, engage in an interesting discussion about sexism in modern sports.
VOA's Doug Bernard. Thank you, Doug, and we'll hear again from you on Monday.
Looking forward to it.
And that wraps up the August 19th Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young. Enjoy the final weekend of action in Rio de Janeiro. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Fulgence Kayeshima, a former police official in the Republic of Rwanda, is wanted for taking part in the Rwandan genocide in the early 1990s. In his capacity as inspector of the judicial police in Kivumu Commune, Mr. Kayeshima was one of the main instigators of killings there aimed at committing genocide. In April 1994, he helped organize and took part in an attack by his communal police on a church where refugees fleeing the violence had sought shelter. Some 2,000 people died in the attack. For these and other crimes, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, the ICTR, indicted Mr. Kayeshima on charges of genocide and war crimes and issued a warrant for his arrest. The United States is cooperating with other governments, the United Nations and ICTR, to make it harder for Mr. Kayeshima and others sought for the killing to continue to elude justice. Toward that end, the U.S. has renewed an offer of a reward for up to $5 million for information leading to his arrest. Fulgence Kayeshima fled Rwanda and is believed to be living in the Southern African region. He is believed to be living in one of the countries in Southern Africa and travels a lot within the region. If you or anyone you know has information on his activities and whereabouts, it can be provided with complete confidentiality. You may contact the nearest U.S. embassy, or you can call internationally, 243-81-715-2501, or by email at rewardsforjusticedrc@yahoo.com, or on the internet at www.rewardsforjustice.net/warcrimes. The U.S. guarantees that all reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information. The political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.
With your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.